free-for-all. All right, Ms. Chutz, Ben, with an amazing, amazing...
We are together.
Ms. Chutz, Ben, with this amazing, amazing, amazing Dvar Torah. Everyone's on their phones. We forgot about the first time. We're in a different room. We have, you know. Okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Well,
what the hell are you doing? Okay. In this week's Parsha and Parshas VaYishlach. Oh, Asher also spoke. It must have been epic beyond belief. Asher and Dami spoke. We have now in the middle of this week's Parsha, we have the Maisa of Dina. And there was a conversation of maybe someone in the shir, I don't remember, but that's going to trigger what we're going to talk about. But in any event, for those of you that do not know, what happened is that Dina got raped, for lack of a better word. And then Shechem, Hamor, they wanted to marry Dina, they wanted to marry the Yidden, they wanted to form this whole union. And Yaakov and Shimon and Levi came up with this great idea, like, we can't let you marry our sisters, you don't have bris milos, you know, sometimes we're afraid, sometimes we're embarrassed of our makom mila, but I guess back then, the cool thing was to have a bris mila, and Shimon Levi said, no, you ain't coming into to our hood without getting a bris mila. So I'm like, okay, fine, we'll get a bris mila, how bad can it be? And I listened to, on Meaningful People today, this Christian from the Five Towns who became a Jew. He converted at like 40, 45. He got a bris mila.
Gabriel Sanders.
Yeah. It's a good podcast. It's a good podcast. Okay. But, so how painful can it really be to get a bris mila at 45? So, okay, fine. Whatever. They're all like, let's get a bris mila. We're going to marry the Jews. You know, it's going to be great. You know, we're going to have... They even knew about potato kugel, not Yerushalmi kugel. You know, they were exposed to the good stuff. Cholent with meat. You know, okay? there's a lot of physics you guys can get from your kiddushes. If you haven't figured out yet, it's almost always par of Thursday lunch in yeshiva. You can have cholent with meat and still not insult Mary. But in any event, they're all like, okay, let's become... All right, let's Ginsburg, put your phone away and stop getting all excited. All right. Got them going. Okay, so they got their bris milos, and then on day three, because day three is... Okay, guys, relax. Day three is when you're at your weakest point after a bris mila. We learned that from Avraham Avinu. So then Shimon and Levi decided, you know, we're going to go wipe out the entire city, which is pretty incredible that they were able to do that, because even if you are pretty weak, I'm assuming that it was like more than two people. So the fact that they were able to destroy an entire city is it's pretty unbelievable. And okay, fine. So then they come home, like, feeling pretty good about themselves. They weren't really like trying to, you know, it wasn't like you did something and you tried to pretend, oh, it wasn't my bottle of alcohol, and I it wasn't really me with the joint. I caught you with the joint. No, okay, fine, but like, it wasn't really me. Like, they were pretty proud, they were pretty happy that it was them. And Yaakov Avinu, to say the least, was not ecstatic with their behavior. He said that was totally, totally inappropriate. And they say back, we ain't going to let our sister be treated like a prostitute. She's not going to be a zona. And Yaakov Avinu says nothing. The story ends. Shimon and Levi probably go back to the room. They play like whatever, like the equivalent of like, you know, they were probably like cooler guys. They were probably like Hold'em type of guys. So like whatever was like the Texas Hold'em of Sefer Bereishis. They go back and play that, and Yaakov says nothing. We fast forward to Vayechi. Some of you will still be here. Some of you will not be here when we get to Vayechi. At the end of Bereishis, when they're getting their brachos from Yaakov. So at that point, then Yaakov finally gets the last word. He waited many, many years. He held it in. He held in those feelings. He held in the will to say what he wanted to say. He let the fart come out. He held it in for a long time. And then eventually it was time. It, like every good thing in life, it needs to leave the system. And he blasts Shimon and Levi all the way from here to Rosh HaGaishir. He gives them a whole boom. They go flying. And okay, fine, you know, whatever. They're Makabal the Tochala. That's also an interesting thing. Levi becomes Moshe and Aram. Shimon becomes like, you know, the bottom shavit of all the Shvatim. So okay, some people take the Musar, some people don't take the Musar. But we're just gonna focus for a second in this point, right here, that when Yaakov Avinu, he very easily could have gone back. He could have said, No, you were wrong. He could have yelled at them. He'd be like, you guys are idiots. You destroyed a whole nation. Do you know what that's going to do for, like, you know, for, like, you know, anti-Semitism? You know, no one's going to be able to go to secular college again. They're going to fear for their lives. Do you know what it's going to do? Like, you know, it was, like, really, really horrible what you potentially could have done. But he didn't do it. He understood that, like, sometimes in life, we don't have to get that last word. And I know it's, like, really funny. You know, it's worth it. It's really worth it. But sometimes in life, we just don't have to do it. Life will go on. Life will go on if we don't get that last word in. We just move right there in life. We don't say anything. Because what would have happened to that? Shimon and Levi would have said, no, we were right. They would have said again, we're not letting you be treated like a zona. Okay, fine. We could go back in circles. We could have conversations about nothing. Or we could just agree. It's not worth it. It's not worth it at the time. And I think that's, our generation, I'm including me in the R, all of our generation, like that's like a major, major thing. Like we have to get that last word in. But it's really just not worth it. And the reason why this idea triggered is last week there was, I mean, also, you know, like to talk about, you know, getting, you know, whatever, it's an interesting episode, but last week there was somebody in this yeshiva who was asking some other people, yeah, the story of Dina is in this week's parsha, right? This week's parsha. I'm like, no, it's in Vayishlah. Like, no, you're wrong. I'm like, I'm telling you, like, you know, when it comes to, you know, you can ask me, like, kachim stuff, that I might not know, but, like, when we're talking about a story and talking about rape, like, I'm all over that. Like, I'm gonna know when that happened. Like, I'm telling you that's Vayishlah Chamishi. I'm telling you. It's a whole parak. I'm telling you. And they didn't believe me. And they're like, oh, maybe you're right. And it got into my head that one of the downfalls is we just don't know anything. We're in a time of life we just don't know. We don't know anything. And the question we all have to ponder and we all have to ask ourselves, and it's a loaded question, an important question, and a deep question, is do we want Torah to be a part of our lives when we're older? Like, what do we envision our life? I was just talking to one of my friends who is a principal. Like, it's like funny, and I think it actually happened last week. We had a yahrzeit shiur for my mother-in-law, and post facto, we're pretty early people. So much so, the lights, it was mostly child, the lights actually went off at like 9 o'clock, because that's what it was set for, like Friday night in the timer. But people didn't get the hint that it was time to leave. But like post facto, like people were just sticking around for like a while, like, whatever, you have to clean up anyway, so you know they can be there. But there were a group of people what they were talking about. One of them actually set up, and they were saying that their husband asked him on the fifth date, do you want to live in Israel? Like that question came up. And she's like, right away, she's like, yeah, of course. Like, you answered way too quickly. Like, you need to think about it. And whenever she went back and forth, and I was just thinking, like, that question as a whole, but just in general, like, your stage of life, like, you just don't know anything. Like, you really, really don't know anything. Like, you don't know, I don't know anything, but you certainly don't know anything. Like, your parents know a lot more. Like, you don't know how life is going to play itself out. Like, there's like a million, I have a friend just on that topic, like, He was done with that nonsense. Oh, day in America, the girl wants to live in Israel. Are they lying? Are they not lying? So he moved to Israel. Like, you know, it's great to live in Israel and date. They're here already. They obviously want to live here. And he's finishing up his, I guess he's in the middle of his third year in Cyprus for dental school, third out of 5 years. So, and he, I mean, hopefully he'll come back after. But like, you never know how life is going to play itself out. So it's a pretty foolish question. But in general, we just don't know. We don't know anything. So we're not going to focus our time on how you don't know anything about life, because either you'll want to get the last word in and be like, no, I know everything about life. I really have it down to science, or, you know, whatever. But that's not what we have to talk about. We will talk about how we don't know any Torah, because that's not even going to be debatable. Now you'll be like, yeah, no, now we're talking the same language. You know, it's like, you know, you want to talk to Kyle, you talk to Browns, like, and the Islanders. Like, now you're in the same language. Like, okay, we don't know any Torah. So I happen to think so the question is, do you want to learn Torah when you're older? It's learning Torah every day. So I would have thought, I went to YU, you think, like, yeah, of course, you were a nice hitter in YU. I remember this guy who was married, right, a few years right at that point. So in YU, the minute is, I don't know how it comes to, I guess it's when they in class. Nice hitter generally was 8 to 10, and then Meyer was at 10. So I saw this guy one day learning like 7 to 9. I'm like, you're such a loser. Why are you learning 7 to 9? Like, why are you learning 8 to 10? He's like, at some point in your life, like, you'll understand what that means. And like, you'll understand, like, you know, life's a little different. And as life would go on, I certainly did understand that. But yeah, I thought, like, of course, everyone learns at night. It's so easy in YU. Like, no responsibilities. How hard can it be when you get older? And, you know, besides the fact they don't tell you that, like, most people's jobs, either man or woman, make schedule very, very difficult. Like, oh yeah, like I'll never miss Minion. Yeah, but you know, like 40% of women who are from like become nurses. They work at night. Oh, who knew that? You mean they don't all, they're not all secretaries? No, some are a little more efficient. You know, they're not all. Some are nurses, some are like, you know, whatever. Like, who knew? Who knew? I had no idea. And I married a nurse, so who knew? Who knew it? Ironically, she never worked a night in America. Only worked nights when we got here. But who knew? Who knew? You don't know anything. You don't know anything. Jobs. Like, you mean like lawyers? Like, they don't work 9 to 5. Like, at 5:43, you're not sitting down to have, like, the big ziti for dinner. Like, who knew? Who knew? Who knew all these things? I'm like a survivor, but my dad and me are like the only like 9 to 5 workers like left in the world. So like, you know, I still think that's like a thing, but I'm getting to the point where it's not. But in any event, I believe that like if you want to like learn seriously, like if that's a goal, if you're like, I want to learn, I'm older, I feel you have to learn Gemara. Just for whatever reason, it doesn't seem like other things tend to work. I'm going to shift away from that, and like the rest of this discussion is going to be about like not learning Gemara. But I have, like, just as a thought, like if learning every night, like for Asher when he gets older, like besides like hopefully he'll realize like Thursdays are my time to have challah with meat and not vegetarian. Like we're gonna learn a lot of things. But you know, if he wants to learn when he's older, he's gonna have to learn Gemara. But you know, we're gonna shift away from that. Number one. Inyan number one, learning how to read. Learning how to read. Hebrew. Learning how to read. Reading's really, really hard. It happens to be, with bad mazel for each of you, there keeps being people in Avelos here. It's also bad mazel for them and their loved ones who are passing away. But one of the brachas to being in the yeshiva and generally being in a world where you don't have people in Avelos is it's easy to have opportunities to be a chazan. Amazing job this week. Read clearly, said it was soft, which I appreciate, and I enjoyed. He davened fast, which I appreciate. He said Chazar Sashas fast. Everything we wanted out of a chazan, he chopped the opportunity. It's the only time all year I've seen a non-chiyav, except for the Shana Bet, and even usually that's not. The only time all year I can remember that there's not been someone in Avelis who's been the chazan, but I think twice you've actually done this. I've never actually seen anyone besides Tarigan be a chazan here in yeshiva. But when there's opportunities, be a chazan. Practice reading Hebrew. And if it's going to take you slow, it's going to be slow. But it's only going to get quicker with practice. Read Hebrew. I know it sounds like Rav Dudi. I'm telling you guys to read Hebrew. Amos has heard enough.
We're having an emergency.
Amos has heard enough. Practice. Be chazan. When you're learning, when you're even by yourself, I know the business, Rapalthila holds by this a lot. Read out loud. When you read it to yourself, you're not learning how to say words. You're learning how to make sure your eyes know how to go from one point to the next. That's good. We want to make sure that we're not blind. That's important. We want to make sure that we're able to see. That's very, very important. We're not downplaying our vision, but we're not improving our reading skills one bit by doing that. Read out loud. When you don't know what a word means, I know this is gonna knock you off your chairs. You don't know what a word means, you can use a dictionary. I think you can even use Google Translate, which I happen to never find. I happen to find that never actually helps. But what happens when you start to learn words, then they become familiar to you. If you just ask someone quickly what it means, you don't actually know what it means. And then 4 minutes later when you see it, you're like, oh, what's that word? I've never seen that word in my life, except for you saw it 4 minutes ago. Expand your vocabulary. Improve your Hebrew. Improve your reading. Number two, general Torah knowledge. When I was younger, there was like this crazy, crazy thing called Dunkaroos. You guys know from Dunkaroos? I heard it came back. I promise you I have no interest in your Shir Kali on Dunkaroos. I'll give Shir Kali on Dunkaroos. After you tell me all about Dunkaroos. There's fewer Dunkaroos are like the greatest thing in the world. It also had to be like when I went to school, like there was like it was no one talked about eating healthy. That wasn't like a thing at all. Amazingly, not everyone was obese, but like there was no one talking about eating healthy. Like cheese curls, nacho cheese, like you mean it's healthy that like having an apple, like it wouldn't have even dawned upon anyone to have that. So you had these amazing Dunkaroos. with the vanilla cream. It was incredible, incredible, incredible. And when I was in fourth grade, we had a Rebbe who every now and then, like, he would do certain things, or you get points or tickets, whatever it would be. And when you got to a certain number, like, you know, it's whether you wanted to buy a car, so you'd want to save up to buy the car. But sometimes it's hard, because you might want to, like, in between there, you might want to buy a new pair of shoes, or a new shirt, or a new water bottle, or some alcohol, you know, whatever they might want to do. And that's going to go into the car fund. So at the end of the year, he'd have a mega raffle. And if you had the most money, you would get, like, probably some toy that would break in 5 seconds. So I didn't like to wait for that. I didn't have such patience. So every time I got to my amount, I would get Dunkaroos. How did we get opportunities to get points? We had to know all the parshas. I happen to think it's beyond embarrassing if you don't know the specific week's parsha. That's very, very bad. Like, when you're asking your friend, like, assuming you're there, Shabbat Adav at Kriyas HaTorah, what's this week's parsha? That's very, very, very bad. That's not something you're aspiring for. But on an almost similar level, it's not great if you can't say what all the parshas are, and it shouldn't take very long. It's not like knowing the 50 states, like, where you should always get a couple wrong, because, like, you know, or forget a couple because it's just, you know, more of a challenge. We should know all the parshas. If we don't know them, commit a few minutes each day to know the parshas. They shouldn't be that unfamiliar. They come back year after year after year after year. Once we know all the parshas, they didn't even know what's inside them. Same thing with Hebrew. Just knowing how to read is like a mile in of itself. Once we know all the parshas, we have Nach. We have the 24 books of Tanakh. We should know all the books in Nevi'im and Kesuvim and even Treyazar. This week, we read the Haftorah of Ovadia. Ovadia is only one paragraph. We're going to read all of Ovadia. We should know things. We should be like, oh wow, that we just did all of Ovadia. These things should not be chidushim. We should be expanding our broad knowledge and just having general knowledge. It doesn't mean you're going to know every Indian of the story, though. We'll get to that momentarily. But the first guy that did, I can't know anything about Parshas Toldos if I don't know there's a Parshas Toldos. Like basic things, like knowing like some like storyline. You shouldn't think Moshe Rabbeinu might appear in this week's Parsha. Like, and you shouldn't think Avraham Avinu is going to come up in Parsha Tezria. There should be like some general knowledge. When I was in YU, they had this thing, Sichas Musar. I can't say my true thoughts about Sichas Musar on, so they'll go on YU Torah. But there were certain Rabbanim who gave very, very memorable Sichas Musar. One of them was Rabbi Jeremy Weider. He actually did this great Kiddush during Sichas Musar. He gave Musar. Well, that was you would think with the title, but he gave a lot of mussar. And one time he was talking about, like, we all want to know so much, but some things are really, really hard. Like, it would be amazing if at the end of the year Joe's telling us like Shaka Vitaria of all of Maseches Kedushin. That would be amazing. We might be overshooting by doing that, although he was like at the 1 yard line to go to Tomo, so maybe we're not overshooting, but like you know. It would probably be asking for a lot for him to be doing that. But when it comes to like Parsha, it's not the craziest thing in the world to actually know the Parsha pretty well. You're in yeshiva. I know you think you don't have so much time. You have a lot of time. You can devote time of your day and really. I know there's like, I want to do this. I want to do that. And like, I'm not like knocking some of those. Although I think the svarim in the yeshiva, like people's makomos have gotten like, you know, I don't like bug out now when I daven mincha at any random location as I used to. So I think the makomos have gotten better with the choices of svarim. But we don't have to read like every book safer, like, you know, ever made for creation. Like, there are certain books that are meant, you know, Friday night, you finish your meal, you go hang out. I don't know if there's couches in your dorms and apartments. We'll just assume for argument's sake that there are couches. You sit on the couch. You're in your, like, undershirt and tzitzit. You're in your shorts. And, like, you know, you're reading some biography about whoever. Like, that's, like, was meant for, like, Friday. That's, like, meant for Friday night. That's not meant for, like, 4:45 on a Tuesday afternoon in yeshiva that, like, you're reading those books. That's not what it's meant for. That's not why they were created. If they knew that's what was happening, they were being created, they would have second thoughts about having these books be published. But they know that Friday night after the meal, especially in the winter, you finish dinner at like 7 o'clock and I'm all for it. Get a good night's sleep Friday night, go to bed by like, you know, 8:30. I'm not even saying go to bed. You know, you get 12 hours of sleep. Enjoy. Knock yourself out. But you spend an hour reading those books. But during the week, to really focus your time on knowing the storyline in the Parsha, having it flow, knowing what happened, not just looking for cute vortlux, but like, which is great also, but to actually have like a timeline of what happened and what happened in each specific Parsha. And it's not so crazy. That's not like saying it's no Kiddush and Kol. You know, we learned a lot of the parts of this already at times in our life, and trying to fully connect it and to really come away. And as a person, like, you know, you keep Shai Mikra is a beautiful thing. As time goes on, if you do it every year, so now you guys are 19, 20, 21. Happy birthday to Ben, 22. However old you each are. But when you get to like 30, 35, you've done it 10, 15 times, you start to know it really well, because you're just inherently reviewing, which doesn't necessarily come as much with other things. So we've discussed learning how to read, practicing, looking for opportunities to be chazen, reading out loud, knowing the words, keep saying the words. It gets easier and easier. Know chumash, know the storylines in the actual Torah. When you show up to Kriya the Torah, don't be like, oh God, what the hell is going to happen this week? What's going on here? What's going on there? But actually know what's going on. Benji can teach you how to like write these like make podcasts on reviewing of the chumash or whatever it is that he's spending his time in all his recordings. But no chumash. Number three, Mishnayis. Mishnayis sort of like chumash also. Mishnayis is so hard. Everything in life is hard. Mishnayis also like chumash. Those are like two things. Like, you should also know like where things are. Like, you should not think that like Masechet Shabbos would be like Kachim. Wouldn't really make any sense. And knowing where things are, knowing which seder they're in. And Mishnayis also, they're not so long. Your goal doesn't have to be to do Mishnayis, in a year where you're doing 18 Mishnayis a day. Once you're doing that, that's like very, very hard, whatever the amount comes down to. But you do one, two a day. You do it, you constantly look it over. That helps with part one. All this stuff helps with part one, because you're reading, and reading is like our Iker goal that we're trying to get here. Read. That was supposed to be a stress thing this year. I think that went over the bulletin for people seeing it. So I'm trying to rehash what was the stressing point that we want to practice reading. And Mishnayis also, it just gives you an amazing, amazing broad knowledge on a huge aspects of Torah, and then ultimately makes Gemara a lot easier when you actually know what the Mishnayis are talking about. As Asher said, Mishnayis are not the easiest thing in the world, and some are harder than others. But if you spend time, you do one, two Mishnayis a day, you do the Lucidate or whatever it's called, it's very, very good. Whatever it's called, it gets a very Mishnayis Yomi, like you really like you can know it well. You're seeing it. You could have familiarity with it. And then you gotta stop that thing distracting me, I believe. It's all good. But that's definitely reachable. Clevelander. If Deshaun was allowed back in the league for all he did, you know, it's definitely reachable that we can know Mishnayis. Deshaun Watson. We can definitely know Mishnayis. So now we'll just go on to four and five, and these are like now getting into like the next realm. Like the number one Iker, like really learning how to read, like that's real, and practicing and improving. Like when you get to the point of making a siyum, you should be like so comfortable with saying the hadron that like it would sound like Rishamai reading it. Like that's a point of familiarity that it should get, and that gets to constantly reading over. So the learning how to read, become knowing how to be a chazen, because hopefully in many, many years, but maybe some of you already have had that, at some point, you know, it happens with all of us. We have to take the amud for either the year or for your sites, and reading in Hebrew should be of the utmost familiarity to us. And having general Torah knowledge, Mishnayis and Chumash, you know, that's far more essential. But like once we're at that point, I'm trying to reinvent education. You know, you guys are kind of at a loss because you come to yeshiva, they're like, okay, let's learn a lot of Gemara, let's do all these stuff, but I don't know anything. I can't read. I don't know Chumash. I don't know Mishnayos. I don't know Nach. I don't know who Abaye is. I don't know anything. I don't know if that's a name or a place or a word. I don't know anything here. They want me to do that. So we kind of have to reinvent. We have to reinvent the wheel. And what was the guy's name? What do you say? The guy from the church for Meaningful People. Who said his name? Gabriel. So that's Gabriel Sanders, who came from knowing nothing to be able to do it. Rabbi Akiva, like, people convert all the time, and somehow they're able to get with the program and learn the curriculum. So certainly us who have had some level to higher level of Jewish education for many, many years definitely have that possibility. But two other things that we should also focus on is Nach. Nach is also important. You know, similar, and also some of Nach is much harder, but that those like general storylines should be of some level of familiarity to us.
Hilchos Shabbos is the most important thing ever.
Hilchos Shabbos, everything is very important. No, that's not on here. Hilchos Shabbos is very
important. Rabbi Vatnin says that if you're Mechallel Shabbos, so you like study Gemara, you're a Bittul Torah.
Well, that gets into like halacha the whole, like knowing what we're doing. But yeah, Hilchos Shabbos is super important. And then also mitzvahs. We got to know the Tariq mitzvahs. Which is also like, I don't know why that's never a taught thing. I don't think anyone goes through any point in life and we're taught that. Like, I don't know, that's like the, you even want to say, like, I don't know, have someone come out with a brilliant idea. Maybe it's going to be Klinger. Who knows? He has so much potential. Maybe he'll go through all the mitzvahs and he's going to take all 613 and he's going to condense it into a sefer of what's no geya b'zman hazeh. Because it is hard. Well, I'm going to do all this stuff on Korban Pesach. You might not be left with so much. No, Josh, I'm not giving you such a hard task here. You know, we're knocking out a lot of it. Like, you know, you might want to start off with like your Sefer and your payers on like Kedushin. People might be much more impressed with that. That might get your name out more. But you know, have the Nogeya mitzvahs. So like at least we know what mitzvahs are. We know what a Doraisa is, and then from that we can conclude that which are derabbanans. But to know these things, to have general Torah knowledge. We'll conclude with this last point. It's important to realize and understand, guys, it's never too late. Like a lot of the points are like we're like, I've gotten to this point in life, like I'm already at a point where what can I do? I don't know anything, or I've been doing this for too long, I don't know anything, nothing's coming of it, and whatever, or I'll keep doing this like messed up educational program that like I'm gonna spend time learning like Rishonim when I don't know like the words to Modaani. Like that's a very, very flawed plan and life mahalach. But to take that idea seriously, that I'm really gonna work on these things. And not only because like if you want to do the army, it's important, and if I want to like just sound, you know, somewhat intelligent, it's also important. But we're moving that direction in life. Reading every day. Focus time on reading. Spend time reading. I'm sure for many it could be a lot greater of a challenge than for others, but everybody needs work in that area. Like I always say, it's like Shmir Zinayim falls into that same thing. It doesn't matter if like you're a guy who you would literally look at their phone and they spend 947 hours this month looking at porn, or you're the Gadol Hador who hasn't seen a woman besides their wife ever. Everyone needs work on Shmir Zinayim. It's a struggle for all, and everyone needs work on reading Hebrew, reading Aramaic. We all need help on it. It is a challenge for every single person. But to spend time in that, to focus, to read out loud. You know, you don't have to like be embarrassed because no one sounds good. So like it's just like everyone else. Like, you know, we're just you know, it's like the same, like one of my kids is a lefty, like I feel bad for him because most people aren't lefties. Like, you know, he feels a little different. Like, you know, he throws his left hand, like, oh, you're lefty. Yeah, I'm lefty, but like, you know, everyone else is right. Like, you make a big, like I never say to my other kids, you're a righty. Like, it's like almost like you just it's mikubal. But when it comes to reading, you know, we're all in that same boat. We're all in that same boat. And our knowledge also, like, really devote that time. Like, it'd be incredible for all of you. At the end of the year, you're able to say, you know, I can't tell you so much about what's going on in the Gemara, and even if I spend time in it, I don't know how much I can tell you. But I can tell you, I went through every Parsha, and I actually know stuff that went on in the Parshias. I actually have like a general idea of like when characters appear in the Torah. You mean like the Jews got out of Mitzrayim? You know, that's like 10 minutes after Yosef died. That's not like, you know, 8 months later. Like, wow, I actually have like timelines of that. Or I started doing it. So ever since Mishnayos Yomi. And in whatever amount of time, you're going to say, I did it in 250 days. I did 500 Mishnayos. And I know them, and I reviewed them, and I improved my Hebrew, and I really, really came away. Like, I'm starting to have things that are reachable. You have to have reachable goals. Again, we would all love it. Like, Joe tells us the Shach of Atari to see him on Kedushin. That would be amazing. But that's probably, for most, not really viable. But for everyone in this room, it is for every one of you, all of you. We had more when we started, but it's all good. For every one of you that remained, that stayed here, you each have the opportunity, each have the, definitely with the capabilities of being able to say, I can know Torah, I can know Chumash, I can know Mishnayos, but it's only possible if I actually set out to do it. That's the Hashem. You should all be successful in your pursuit.